Is to me, we have a lot to get through. I just want to say before I get started something I jotted down here. I am going to be going out to Uganda. We have a missions trip. God is blessing me. He's encouraging me to go and continue to do that. So please pray for me and the team as we go to Uganda to serve God's plans and purposes. I also have another missions trip. It may sound a bit different, but it's to the US, it's to San Francisco, and it's there to minister to some churches out there, I hope. And see what God does for me and what I can do in the service of the Lord. I want to share something with you. I want to say this. This is the inspired word of God. Yes? This is an awesome, awesome resource. And I encourage you to read it, to meditate on it, or even medicate. To let this word bless you. Let it saturate you. Stand on His word. The hymns that we had today were so encouraging and uplifting. Saying, Lord, you know, come and do a new work within me. And that's our prayer for you. So, as part of Grace Community Church, I trust that you're okay if you're challenged today. Now, come on, don't be quiet. Is it okay if you're challenged? Well, let's put it in reverse. Is it okay if you're super blessed and challenged? To be encouraged. To be an encouragement. That's why we do what we do. Do you know what? I'm filling the form in at the moment because there's a group of churches that I believe is good for us to belong to. And I'm looking through the questions. Some of them are quite difficult. But there's one that says, when did you start ministry of the word? And I had to think about it for a few moments. And I've been a Christian now for 25 years. And I reckon I started preaching when I came up out of the water of baptism. Because my wife said to me at that time, sorry, Susan, she said, whatever you do when you give your testimony, keep it short. Well, the rest is history. Keep it short. And I don't think I've stopped sharing God's goodness ever since. You know, we are here to bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. This is the reality, I believe. So today is maybe the last in this series on faith. And I want you to grab hold of something. I don't want you to be sidetracked by the fact that I'm going to be using money and that we've given a financial statement. The two does have nothing to do with each other in that sense. This word was prepared a week ago before the trustees made the decision to share that today. But it talks about, in the scripture I'm going to bring, the love of money. And that means simply this, to set finances up as your God. And if you worship finances as your God, then this word is going to really, you're going to struggle with it. But if you don't set finances up as your God, then you'll see it in the context. Is that okay? I would say that as a disclaimer because I don't want you to be sidetracked. In Matthew 4, we've read this for a few weeks now. Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you. I will make you disciples. This week I will make you men and women of faith. That's what I want to say to us afresh today. Follow him and he will make you. Something that stood out in this scripture last week for me was, I will. I will. You see, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And sometimes we could say, well, I'm just, as I used last week. But you know what? It's the just that will live by faith. It's the just, defied and sanctified, that will be part of his bride. So maybe that's you today, but he will help you. Come follow him and he will make you men and women of faith. Hebrews 11:1, just in case you've forgotten. Now, faith is confidence. It is. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Maybe you can't see it, but have you got that assurance? Have you got that hope? That's faith. Faith is all about something you can't see. So for Susan and I, we can't see the natural way through this situation that we find ourselves in. But our faith says that he is faithful. And if he is faithful, and we pray that we are men and women that are full of faith, then we can have confidence in what we hope for. And what do we hope for? That his plans and purposes would come to fruition through our lives. And that's our prayer for you as well. Now, this is my key passage today, and I want you to grab hold of this because, do you know what? Maybe you don't. That we're in a battle. Did you know that? We're in a battle. You know, the Bible says our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. Yet so often you can find church fighting against church, over words. For church fighting against church because one has a red Bible and one has a blue Bible. I know it sounds crazy, doesn't it? Well, we're in a battle, but we're not in a battle where we fight each other. We're in a battle where we are those that are called to pull down the strongholds in the heavenly realms, those spiritual things that are there to rob us. You know, the enemy, it said through Scripture, is a liar. He's a deceitful liar. He is the prince of lies. He comes to rob and steal. Timothy, Paul is speaking to him in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, is where I want to start. And he says, But you, man of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Do you know what? When I first read that, I thought it read like this. Fight the good fight of faith. I thought I had to go in using the God-given talents that I have to fight. No, God is saying it in a different way. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It goes up from there, starting at 6 verse 1. These are the things you are to teach and insist on it. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound. Sound is solid. Solid. It's Bible-based. It's Scripture. That's why I want you to read this word, meditate on this word, understand this word. Sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching. They are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth. You see, the Bible says that know the truth, yes? And the truth will... Oh, I'm so glad you know Scripture. The truth will set us free. But there are times, if we don't hold on to the truth, we can be robbed of it. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. She said this to me. We can be robbed of the truth. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor, what he has done. You can be robbed of the truth. The truth is, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. No weapon forged against you will prosper. That's the truth. The truth is that you will suffer. But I will not give you more than you can bear. Who loves that scripture? Thank you for that one, Lord. I won't give you more than you can bear. That means you can bear it. Many years ago, I stormed out of my house. I won't give you the reasons why. And I'm stomping down the road and I'm shouting at God and I'm going, I cannot do this anymore. And I heard this small whisper in my heart saying, but I won't give you more than you can bear. Well, I wasn't very gracious that day. But God won't, will he? That's the truth. Though we go through times of trouble. The scripture says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? I'm glad you asked, because he said that my rod and my staff will comfort you. You know, that's my correction, my direction and my discipline. And they'll bring you back onto the paths of righteousness, the right standing with him. We're in a battle. We need to know who our enemy is and who we're fighting against. But we can be robbed of the truth. And who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, I am grateful, I'm thankful. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. There was a story of a true story of apparently this rich man had died, and his family were outside waiting to see what his will contained. And when the guy came out, he said, did he leave much? And he said, yes, he left everything. And that's the truth, isn't it? We don't take nothing with us. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires. They plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, the idol, if you idolize it, is the root of all kinds of evil. May I say at this point, if you have a problem with money, I'll take care of that problem for you. I have no issues with money. I want as much as God will give me, so I can give it away. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, woman of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and endurance. We're in a battle, and we should know that the battle belongs to the Lord. In Matthew 13, starting at verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Now, we're told that this parable is about God's word. The sower, the seed, is his word. So we're starting here at verse 19. When anyone hears his word, the message about the kingdom, and does not understand it, the evil one comes along and he robs them. He snatches away what was sown in their heart. We're in a battle. This is the seed sown along the path. Seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. They're robbed. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it. They choke the word, making it unfruitful. They're robbed. We're in a battle. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. And this is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 times what is sown. The truth is this, we are in a battle. We are called to be men and women of faith, putting our trust in him, hoping for the things that we cannot see, knowing that this word that we understand to be the inspired word of God, full of life and encouragement and joy. Yes, we see that there's a consequence to our actions. Yes, we understand that God is looking for a people who will have faith in him. Yes, we understand heaven. We understand hell. We understand a sacrifice. We understand a substitute. We understand without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. But so often, when God sows a word into our hearts, the enemy comes and robs us. He comes and robs us. We're in a battle. We need faith. We need to have that hope. Wherever you are on your journey, I want to encourage you, whether you're new into this church or you've been here 10 years, that this is a church that was built on his word, was built on revelation, bind up the broken heart, set the captives free. It was built on the fact that hearts and lives are joined together, they knit together, they become one. And you know what? When we truly become one, the enemy has less opportunity to penetrate. So let's this year as a church believe that this is a year of invitation, a year that God is going to minister to us and through us. A year that we can grab hold of his word and know that it is true for us. And not say, Lord, but you bless them, but you don't bless me. That's a lie. The enemy comes to rob you of your peace. He comes to rob you of your joy. And he comes to rob you of your understanding. Let's not allow him to operate in that way. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. God tells us. You know one thing, I don't know when God is coming back. I don't know when Jesus Christ comes back for his bride. But I do know this, that we're closer to it this week than we were last week. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, disobedient, abusive to their parents, ungrateful. I changed those two words around there because I see not people being disobedient to their parents, but being abusive to their parents. That's a sign of the last days. That is so heartbreaking. Unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. There's things go through the Bible, they're called philosophy. There's a lot of philosophy in Scripture. And there's men and women of philosophy who have a form of godliness, but they deny God's power. When we look through the Old Testament, the Pharisee and the Sadducee, they had a philosophy that ran through their teaching. They had a form of godliness, but they denied God's power. In his church today, there can be a form of godliness, but it denies God's power. What did I ministered on that word where the blind man was sitting by the temple called Beautiful, and Peter and John was coming up at the time of prayer, and he looked straight at the man, and the man was expecting something, and they said, "This silver and gold do I have? I have not. But what I do have, I give to you." Well, we have to have it to give it. Finances, we have to have it to give it. Grace, we have to have it to give it. Power, we have to have it to give it. We're in a battle. Don't let the enemy rob you of the word that's been sown in your heart. I want to encourage us. This is a good word. This is an encouraging word. This is a word that should enable us to say, "Yes, Lord, your word is true." 2 Timothy verse 4:1 says this. "In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead." You see, there's a time coming where God will judge the living and he will judge the dead. "And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared." Preach the word. Be prepared. In season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. Paul knew that he was about to go back. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all," that's you and me, "who longed for his appearing." Don't allow the enemy to rob you of your inheritance. We gather together as church, not so that you can just hear me speak, God forbid, but so that we can be encouraged, so that we can be challenged, that we can be changed, that we can be squeezed, that the goodness of God will come out, yes? No one likes to be squeezed, do they? But when we're squeezed, the Bible puts it like this, it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you been squeezed this week to say something? Well, what's inside will come out. But we say, "Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit." We come together as God's bride, God's triumphal church, not just to say we're on the right side, but to say, "Lord, help me because I'm worldly. Help me, Lord, because I'm flesh and blood. Help me, Lord. Increase my faith, increase my love. Help me to be able to endure. Lord, I'm in a fight. Lord, but the enemy is not coming into my household." What did the man say when he received his salvation? "As for me and my house, yeah, we will serve the Lord." You know, maybe you have a family like mine. Your children aren't walking with him the way that you want him to. "As for me and my house, I have faith for my family. I have faith for my family. I hope." I can't see it in the natural, but I see it in the spiritual. Why? Because if God be for me, who can be against me? God's called me to be a warrior. He's called me to stand in the gap for them. He's called you to stand in the gap for your family, for your friends, for your neighbor. He says, you know, if someone is against you, bless them, encourage them. What an awesome word we have. In Acts 3, verse 6, just to remind you, Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." You might think, "But I don't have anything." You don't put your hand up, but answer this question. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Saviour? And if the answer is yes, if you've repented and said, Lord, I don't want to live my life my way, I want to live it your way, then you're a Christian, yeah? A follower of Christ. Come follow me and I will make you disciples. That's you. Then you have so much. You have at your disposal everything that's in the armory. But the enemy comes along and he steals what was said last week. He steals what was said in your prayer time this morning. He steals what I said. Why? It's because he's a liar and he's a robber. He comes to rob you and steal you of the promises God has given you. Yeah, but we stand upon his word. Do I listen to the report or do I listen to him? What would you do? Would you listen to the report or listen to him? You know, this week I have felt as if someone's stabbing me in the side of my kidneys, both sides. Do I believe that I'm getting old or do I believe that my strength is renewed every day? You know, the facts are, I feel as if someone's stabbing me in the side. But the fact is that I'm going from glory to glory. And that's not me just being a cheerleader. That's me saying, I'm standing on your word, Lord. That your word says that I will prosper you and not harm you. There's an enemy that's trying to rob you. Trying to rob you of your peace, rob you of your finances, rob you of your blessing. But I want to encourage you today and say this. It's not about silver and it's not about gold. What did they have? They had the Spirit of God on the inside. If you try to fight your battles on the outside, you'll lose. You know, I'm kind of one of them kids. I was growing up and I had a big mouth and I had a big fist. And I never won many battles with my fist, but I won every battle with my mouth. People used to think, this guy is either crazy or he can really do what he says he can do. And they just thought I was crazy, so they left me alone. I won every fight with my mouth, but not every fight with my fist. You know, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. In Hebrews 12:12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of great witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You see, sin is a word that we should embrace. You know, when we watch something and God checks us, that's a good thing. When we say something and we feel we shouldn't, that's a good thing. Sin is a good word. It says we've missed the mark. But the grace of God says, if you repent, turn away from those things, I forgive you. The enemy says you've stuffed up again. You've got it wrong again. You've said the wrong thing. You've done the wrong thing. You've acted in the wrong way. Who do you think you are? And you should say, I am justified, sanctified, set apart, going from glory to glory. I'm part of the royal priesthood. I've been adopted into his family. I'm co-heirs with Christ. He's called me to preach his word. Who are you? That's how we should be. Not because we're arrogant in the way that the dictionary puts that word arrogance, but we're arrogant in the way that you take that word and you dissect it and say arrow as in straight and gent as gentleman. You're a straight gentleman stroke woman of God because you let him fight for you, but you take hold of the weapons that he's given you. We're in a battle. Are you still with me? Is that okay? Because I might get excited at one point, so you need to bear with. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. And that's why you shouldn't just listen to me or anyone else, but you should listen to God's word. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is something that's fortified. You can't get in. You can't get in. You know, in the academic world of religion, the colleges are fortified. You can't get in unless you have the password. You can't get in. To people like me, there was a barrier, a wall. But God comes to demolish those strongholds so that his people can walk through. When it comes to the workplace, I'll never get that job. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. He's given us a weapon to fight with. They are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. If there's a stronghold in your life, whatever area it may be, if you're struggling with something, then take hold of this word today. We demolish arguments. and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, the battle so often is won and lost in the mind. As a man thinks, so he is. I can't do this. I remember a lady telling me some years ago that she was a pretty good high jumper. In her teenage years, she could leap far higher than her own stature. And she was about to take another jump, and she'd done the jumps before, and a boy came up behind her and said, "You are rubbish. You'll never be able to do it." And as she ran up, she didn't. She failed, and she never jumped again. See, we need to take captive those thoughts. When the enemy comes and he's robbing your word, your seed, the word that he's given you that says, "Oh, I have a plan and purpose for you, is to prosper you and not to harm you. That I want to heal your body and your mind. That I want to use you to proclaim the gospel to those around you. I want you to be the rock which faith is built upon in your family. I want you to intercede for your children. I want you to be the one that provide for this situation. I want you to unlock the resources in the bank. I want you to do this. I want you to do that." And then the enemy comes along and he robs it. You need to take it captive, every thought, and make it obedient to Christ. "Lord, what are you telling me to do?" Not what someone else is telling me. "Lord, what are you telling me to do?" God is a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Ephesians 6, verse 12, my final scripture. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We're in a battle. And if you don't think we are, then you've shut yourself away in your home for too long. We are in a battle. You know, when you look at warfare, the first people to get shot at are those that are in the front lines. Are you in the front line of your family? Are you the only Christian in the house? Are you the only Christian in the school? Are you the only Christian in the workplace? Has God called you to be in a leadership position, to lead others? You're in the front lines. So you're in a battle. You need to realize that. And when you stick your head up, you're the one that's going to get shot at first. You're the one that the bayonet's going to be tried to be stuck into. Powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces and of evil in the heavenly realms. But it says this: God always gives us an answer to the question. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God." Now, we could do a message on this alone, but as part of this, we're in a battle. Therefore, this is the answer: put on the full armor of God, not just part of it, all of it, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then. Over 10 years ago, the Lord spoke into my heart in my car and said, "Andrew, if you stand, I'll stand with you." And I'm saying to you guys, as your pastor and your friend, if you stand, the Lord will stand with you. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Are you ready to share his word? In addition to all this, take the shield of faith. And when you look at that picture, a Roman shield would have been leather on the outside, soaked with water, so when the flaming arrows of the enemy came along, it would hit this shield and be extinguished. That's the picture that God gives you. Use it, that shield of faith that says, "I'm hoping for it. I can't see it, but I'm expecting it to come." With which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I hope you've been encouraged this morning. We're in a battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord, and we're on the winning side. He's given us everything we need to be a victorious people. I trust that you've grabbed hold of this. I want to pray, and we're going to worship the Lord. I want to praise him and thank him for who we are in him. I want to thank him, and I want you to thank him in your heart that you've been saved, delivered, and set free. I want you to thank him at this point when we worship him and say, Lord, I'm in a battle, but I'm on the winning side. You've given me the weapons of warfare, which is the word of God. I won't allow the enemy, the devil, to come and steal it from me this week. I'm going to allow this word to be planted in my heart and produce a harvest. Lord, help me to put on the full armor and to use your sword this week. This is a year of invitation. Bless me, Lord. If silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I want to give away. And that's the Spirit of the living God. Fill me afresh in Jesus' name. And all those that want to receive more of God said, Amen. Andy, before he starts to sing, I just want to thank God for his finances. We've spoken about finances today. We've been doing this for a while now. You know, this is good seed. And we've heard today that if good seed is sown into good soil, it will produce a harvest 30, 60, 100 times. Father, we thank you for your spiritual, your financial seed. May it produce a hundredfold harvest. May we see this church full of men and people who have a right standing with you. Amen.